Remix Club.
Medicine here. Remix fam.
Medicine
Scary
Remix. Next big thing, get on it now.
Appreciate that, brother.
Got it. Make the most of today. Thank you for listening. You're listening to Medicine Remixed.
What's really good, Medicine Remixed Hood? It's Reesh. It's your favorite medical podcast, Medicine Remixed, and it's Father's Day. So happy Father's Day to any fathers listening out there. We're going to play a few father-related segments from past episodes of Medicine Remixed coming up, but before we do that, big shout out to my father, my dad, my hero, and my inspiration every single day. He came to New York City in the late 1970s from a small village in South India. And when I say village, I mean a real village, not like Greenwich Village or some shit like that, for example. You know, that must have been so confusing for my dad when he came to this country, by the way. But anyway, neither of my parents are doctors. They both came from very poor backgrounds, especially my dad. I'm the first doctor in my family. And when I graduated from residency almost a year ago, exactly, I knew my dad was really proud of me. You know, it meant a lot to both of my parents to see their dreams for their son come true. But my dad had a very specific respect for orthopedic surgeons in particular, because an orthopedic surgeon saved his life in the winter of 1989. My dad was finally at the peak of his jewelry retail career. Business was booming. And one night, when I was approximately 4 years old, I'll never forget it, I remember being drawn away from my cartoons to the sounds of my mom screaming and crying on the phone. I was old enough to understand what my mom was explaining to my grandmother, who lived with us. And she was telling my grandma that my dad had been shot in the leg. My only knowledge of gunshots at that point in time were from TV, and I thought no matter where you got shot, that you automatically died. So I remember asking my mom if my dad was dead. I remember she picked me up, she hugged me, started crying even harder, and said, "Your dad's not dead. Don't worry. He's going to be okay." I don't know whether she actually knew that for a fact or not at that point, but that's what she said to comfort me. My dad was shot at close range as his jewelry store in Queens, New York was being robbed. They not only took everything that he worked so hard to build, but they almost took his life. He was rushed to the emergency room of Booth Memorial Hospital in Flushing, New York, and was immediately taken to the operating room for a shattered femur from the gunshot, and apparently the bullet was dangerously close to his femoral artery. An orthopedic trauma surgeon who was on call that night fixed his leg with a long titanium rod, shish kebabbing the two ends of the broken femur bone to bypass the fracture site and lock the rod in place with a series of screws. A surgery that a quarter of a century later, his own son would be doing hundreds of. In fact, I just did one this afternoon, believe it or not. My father bounced back from that injury stronger than ever and built back his business in the exact same location in Queens, New York, where it still exists today. And to illustrate the type of guy that he is, the man wore a fucking bulletproof vest for a few years while he built up both his business and the proper security systems to prevent something like that from ever happening again. He's been there for almost 40 years now. Yep, that's my dad. If you guys and gals are interested, I actually started a podcast with my dad called Bob's Golden Business, which I started recording with him earlier this year as a way to keep in touch with him and also extract all the wisdom he has just waiting to be shared. There are 2 episodes out so far, so definitely check that out if you're interested. The episodes are basically structured with me asking him questions about his come-up story in the retail business and in American life as an Indian immigrant in the late 1970s. Whenever it is that we get to that part of his life of being shot in the Bob's Golden Business podcast, we'll be sure to do some kind of collaboration with Medicine Remix to further illustrate the medicine behind his traumatic injury. Next up, I'm going to play a spoken word poem that I wrote about my dad's life called Pops way back in my college days. I think it paints a pretty accurate picture of the man, the myth, the legend, my dad. Enjoy.
One goes out to my pops. My father was from a land of farmers and snake charmers. Tried to get good karma by doing his dharma, which was to survive, stay alive, and provide for his tribe. He always had it rough, but always kept his cool, even when he had to walk barefoot to school. Never sick and that tired, stayed on the grind, fixing bikes and flat tires. Never had much in the first place, but hustled up a fuss to leave his birthplace. And eventually he came to this country of opportunity, so one day his son could be an MD, or even an MC, be whatever he could never be. Worked hard after immigration to move out of the hood and get his kids an education. Hustling to the wire to feed fuel to the fire inspired him to perspire for something that he desired, to get his family something much better and much higher. Thought Brooklyn looked grim, hustled to rush out of Flushing. After some strong fighting, moved out to Long Island. Never thought he was working too much, cause it wouldn't be worth it if he didn't keep moving up. My old man been through a hell of a lot of struggle, and went to so much trouble to burst everybody's bubble. When the whole world gave him the cold shoulder, this soldier used his soul to make pebbles move boulders. Everybody laughed at him, spat at him in his past, till he passed all his critics and he had the last laugh. No one thought he'd succeed working them odd jobs, use his willpower to make his bills tower. This killed cowards who were still sour and made him take cold showers. Times used to be hard. His own people used to call him retard. He had no degree, just a green card. Even Telugus used to say, "Who the hell are you?" Thought he had weak parts, but showed the whole world his strength through his street smarts. Took a shot of life with no chaser. Took some hits, saw the pits, but wit still won him paper. Often fed up but never let up, used to sleep in a haze in his used Chevrolet, always believing he would see better days. Never frowned, he took it like a man through all the ups and downs. Always ready to rumble but never forgot to stay humble. People showed him no love when he didn't have a penny, but he still ain't bitter cause he stayed helping many. He stayed out of people's business so he had time to start his own. Nobody would have known a kid barely grown could make a life for himself all alone without a groan. Climbed a ladder to success while everybody stomped on him at every single step. He made bread from crumbs, started counting hundreds instead of ones, but still never forgot just where he came from. Not many dudes could hustle like my pops, like how he bounced back strong even after getting shot. That's my dad. Never gave up to give us the life he never had. I love you, Dad. That's it.
So I hope y'all enjoyed that little poem I wrote about my dad over a decade ago when I was an MC before I was an MD. But anyway, to continue with the theme of some personal stories about my dad and some crazy experiences he's had with doctors, roughly 20 years after my dad got shot in his jewelry store while it was being robbed, he had another near-death experience. And actually, it was even more near death than being shot, if you can believe that. So when I started med school, I really didn't feel like I belonged there. And I really started having second thoughts about becoming a doctor deep down. And then something happened to my dad that first year of medical school that changed my perception of medicine and what it means to be a doctor. And even more broadly, what it means to be a good person. So this next clip is from a podcast episode Dee and I recorded back in 2013 about medical malpractice and some other medical legal topics. And our guest was none other than my sister, who's currently an attorney in Silicon Valley. So in this next segment, you'll hear a cut from that classic podcast episode where Dee, my sister, and myself talk about what happened to my dad and the still unknown hero who's responsible for my dad being alive today. As always, call in with questions, comments, or insights. Hit us up on social media. Thanks for listening. Much love to all the amazing fathers who are either still with us or have passed on. Happy Father's Day from the one and only Medicine Remixed.
Taking it back to the medical and legal side, you brought up something, the Good Samaritan thing.
Yeah, so I was out to dinner with my sister the other night, and this guy in the table right behind us just like falls backward. And the waitress, you know, was like, oh shit. And then like I turned around, I was like, all right, time to go into doctor mode. I'm like, I don't know, did he have a seizure? What's going on? He's lying on the floor, and you know, I'm about to crouch up next to him, and then he's like, oh, I'm fine. Just a really bad back spasm. I'm just like, oh shit. Then he got up and sat down.
Back spasm took him out, huh?
Yeah, I know.
It was like he was down there for a while. I couldn't see his facial expression, but I went into lawyer mode and I was like, don't touch him.
Yeah, so then like I started asking my sister about that, and I was like, yo, so what if something happened, right, and try to like, you know, resuscitate this guy, and then, you know, maybe he doesn't make it. What percentage of CPR works?
Right.
Like,
it's not a great number.
It's a very small number. But I was asking my sister about the Good Samaritan law. I was like, oh, but if I'm trying to help him and it turns out that his condition just like deteriorates, how is that my fault, hypothetically?
Yeah, so most states have this Good Samaritan statute, whereas just a regular person, if you try rendering aid to them and something goes horribly wrong, if you're not grossly negligent, so if you don't like willfully do something knowingly that you're going to make their condition worse, like you should be protected under this statute. But as a doctor, your duty or, you know, your burden is higher. So you're not acting as like the ordinary, quote, Good Samaritan. You're automatically under the standard of doctor, you know. So you had just graduated med school, you know, or had gone through a year of training. So you would be compared against your peers. And if you made that individual in a worse off situation, you would be liable.
But then what does that do to the psyche of a doctor or a Good Samaritan when you're like, yo, I don't want to touch this person because like I'm afraid that if I fuck him up or like, you know, he dies, that it's gonna be my fault.
Yeah.
And so let's say that scenario actually happened.
Right.
And this guy passed out and someone was like, is there a doctor in the house? Is there a doctor in the house? And I'm just like, don't say anything.
Yeah.
And I just didn't speak up.
That's actually okay.
Not coming forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if the patient died,
you have no duty of care. So if you were that person,
you're just an
mother,
asshole.
If you were that person's mother, if you had a special relationship with that person, if you were that person's nanny, that would be one thing. But just as a doctor, even the Hippocratic Oath doesn't require you to render aid.
Wow. Wow. I did not know that.
Yeah.
So, like, you know that episode of Seinfeld? I think it was their final episode.
Yeah, the final
episode.
So
the premise was on the Good Samaritan law, because I think it's a little ridiculous, and that's why, like, Seinfeld used it as, like, you know, what the hell is this thing?
Yeah.
And I think the premise was it was all four of them, and they witnessed a guy getting mugged, and they didn't do anything.
Right.
And basically, they were all put on trial for you were in a position where you could have done something to help this guy that was obviously in need.
Yeah.
And you didn't.
Yeah.
So it's not accurate for the scenario that we just described, that if I was a doctor witnessing, you know, an event where my services might be needed and I just sit back.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like
you have
no. Don't do anything.
Yeah. As sad as that is, the justice system does not require you to act unless you have a special relationship with that individual.
So you just have to transcend law and your ego.
Morality.
And morality.
Getting
to actually be courageous enough to, in spite of all of that, to do the right thing and to do what you were, you know,
and
trained
I think,
to do.
Yeah, most doctors in that situation, if they could, I know not in a plane, would just call 911 and have EMS deal with it because they're the certified professionals in that regard. You don't want to leave them off in a worse condition.
Right.
Right. And I mean, who knows? Maybe that individual realizes, wow, that person really tried tried to render aid and doesn't decide to sue, but you know, you never know.
So this reminds me of probably one of the most important like stories in my life. One moment that I was just like, all right, being a doctor is on some other shit because of what happened to my dad, what happened to our dad. My first year in
kind
med
of
school,
my dad too. So.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, all of our dads.
All of our dads.
Dad.
Yeah. During my first year of medical school, I get a call from my mother explaining this scenario that just happened. So my dad, you know, he's a connoisseur of fine scotch and cognac. So one of his boys has a liquor store out in Queens, and anytime he gets like new product in, you know, he runs it by my dad, like, oh, what do you think? And so he came by one day and gave him some kind of like ginger based like French cognac or something it wound up being. And my dad took a sip of it and he was like, oh yeah, that's good, I'll take a bottle. And he's driving home a little bit after that, and he starts to feel a little bit like
tingly.
Itchy and tingly, and he's had like allergies before, and he was like, oh, you know, maybe I just need to like pop a Benadryl when I go home. But like something was different that day, because like it just kept getting worse to the point where he was puffing up and he was noticing that it was getting harder and harder to swallow. And he looks at himself in the rear view, and it was probably like that scene in Hitch where Will Smith, you know, eats some shellfish that he's allergic to. Puckers up, and this is really bad. Yeah. So that's medically known as an anaphylactic reaction, a severe allergic reaction, and your body responds in that way where it could potentially be life-threatening if it's not.
And the trouble he was having swallowing is indicative of airway closure.
Like, exactly, which is the most important thing to keep somebody alive always in our protocol of the steps to follow. You make sure that the airway is available. And he's an amazing human being, and he's able to stay calm under pressure. And, you know, he knew this was bad, so he was trying to get off the road. He was able to kind of, like, come up right into the divider and doesn't crash into it, but, like, kind of, like, scrapes up against it, and that's the last thing he remembers. And then the next thing he remembers is a person over him saying, I'm a doctor, I'm here to help you, everything's gonna be okay. There was that flash, and then the next flash was him waking up in an ambulance trying to figure out what the fuck just happened. And when he's finally back to a clearer state of mind, like, he's trying to, you know, get some more information on what happened. So what happened was, I told you what was happening in his car, but right behind him there was a doctor that happened to see this car like swerving all over the place. And, you know, he was with his wife. He stopped after my dad had hit the divider, got out of his car, went in there. I don't know if he did CPR or what, but like his wife was calling EMS. He was able to diagnose what he had based on, you know, just looking at him, and told EMS, like, bring 1 to 1,000 mixture of epinephrine, and epinephrine is what you give in that situation to counteract that severe allergy. They were there within minutes, like clockwork. They were able to give that drug to him and save his life. And, you know, he gets all this information and he's just like, well, you know, who is this doctor that, you know, saved my life? I owe my life. And they're like, oh, you know, he never left his name. That was like some movie shit to me. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? It was a pretty powerful moment for, you know, both of us.
I tear up every time.
Yeah. And it's just crazy, like, the amount of coincidence. And, you know, there was probably plenty of doctors on the road that day.
And a reasonable person would probably be like, that's a drunk driver or whatever. Like,
yeah,
I'm not wasting lines.
So the reasonable person act, full circle.
Right.
The reasonable person would be like, oh, I'm not getting involved in that shit. Ain't nobody got time for that shit. But this guy not only was a doctor, but he was a good motherfucker.
Beyond his call of duty.
Beyond his call of duty, regardless of what kind of liability or any of this shit that we were talking about, saved my dad's life. By probability, my dad should not be alive today, which is a hard thing for me to say, but that's some heavy shit, man. I entered med school not really knowing if that's really like what I wanted to do. I felt like I didn't belong there, and that story, that what happened to my dad, like, you know, changed how I viewed it, with how jaded doctors have become, all the bullshit we have to deal with, how unsatisfying it can be at times when the idealistic student that is in you somewhere in the past,
and bushy tail.
Exactly. At one point thought that this whole game was just about helping people. It's important to not lose sight of that. And if you're really in it, and most people aren't, unfortunately, if you're in the business of medicine to help your fellow man, and that's what you're passionate about, and that's what makes you feel good, then you're doing the right thing. The rest will fall into place, man. And if you're doing what you're supposed to do, acting in accordance
within
with
your own moral code, I think that's really important. And, you know, there's just a billion reasons to just be jaded as a lawyer too, and point the finger at the dirty ambulance chaser, or, you know, know, the one that's just trying to take all their clients' money. But there's good in any and every profession. And
absolutely,
you just have to divorce the professional, the reasonable man standard sometimes, you know, the legalese, and just be true to yourself. And what would you do in your heart of hearts in that situation?
Right.
Thank you for calling the Medicine Remix hotline. Please leave
message
at the sound of the beep. Thank you.
Hi, this is Chris. Just want to say I'm really enjoying the station, and I really appreciate you sharing that story about your father and him having an allergic reaction in his car while he was driving. That's just a really powerful story, and I mean, I had to see why that was great motivation for you to kind of go through with finishing up school and becoming a doctor, because, I mean, I don't see how you couldn't have great respect for someone who would do something for someone they don't know and not try to take any credit for it. So I wish you well with everything that's going on. And I mean, it sounds like you're going to be a great doctor. So keep doing what you're doing.
Please do your part. The podcast, share them if you like them. If they're good, spread the word. We've been getting incredible feedback, man. And to those of you who have written in, thanks. Those who haven't, man, feel free to do it. I know for me, man, it's been pretty incredible. Some of the feedback we've gotten has been, I mean, to be real honest, like life-changing, like really.
Yeah,
impactful.
I mean, you know, even if one person's listening and benefiting from this, that's enough motivation for me to keep doing it.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, keep up the good work. Thanks for listening. Thanks for spreading the word. And we got a lot of things coming up, man. Any words of wisdom?
Stay hungry.
Stay hungry. I agree.
But eat healthy.
But eat healthy.
Medicine Remixed.